it down more. You can't have a 185-pound nickel back up there trying to play the run, too. And then we got small linebackers on top of that. So, I mean, other than Barnett, who's the only player we've got up front, basically, who can make any plays, then, I mean, we're putrid. I just don't know how else to say it. This is, I've watched Tennessee football, and I can remember it since 67. I was about 8 years old or so. This is the worst defensive team Tennessee's ever put on the field, period.
You even going South Sincere's year?
Absolutely.
I'm going Sincere because at least he had starters in there. We didn't have starters on the team right now, Mariano.
Well, the scheme, Sean, I mean, you've got guys who are lined up. When you have we've seen it a couple times this year. When you have a defensive end trying to cover a receiver 30 yards downfield, then something's wrong with the scheme. You know what I mean? Barnett's made a couple of plays doing that, and we had Corey Vereen who tried to make one against Appy State, and it didn't work, and they completed the pass on us. You just can't do that. That's just not fundamentally sound, having a defensive end 30 yards downfield covering a back.
I'm going to have to say that Sinceri is the worst I've ever seen here, but this defense this year with the injuries and everything that's happened, probably at this point in time, the two games that we saw today, this is the worst defense I've seen probably since the beginning of the 88 year when Tennessee was all out of sorts on defense. That'd be my comparison.
In 88, you know, Bama rushed. They had Bobby Humphrey and those guys. They rushed for 460 or 70 yards, the best I remember. And the second was what Kentucky did last week, what, 443? That was the second most we've ever gotten up rushing. And I don't know what the rushing totals were today. But, I mean, they're just awful. I mean, and I know they've got injuries, don't get me wrong. But everybody has injuries. You know, Kentucky lost some players last week out there on, you know, four or five kids that's, you know, they scraped off the field.
They rushed for, you ready for this, 442 yards today rushing.
Okay. Well, that's
6.3, Dubsy, yards per carry. And then on top of that, how about another 320 yards passing? What does 442 and 320 add up to? That's a hell of a lot of yards. That's a big. That's
762.
That's a Big 12 game.
It's almost 800 yards.
Pack eight.
Yeah, but you know, hey guys, but you know what though? Hey, you know what? Injuries don't cause missed tackles. The guy's still there to make a tackle. We can't tackle anybody.
That's my criticism.
They're not fundamentally sound, guys.
Yeah.
And let me say this.
Now, hang on. ProMark is saying here on the Periscope, "Who cares, Mariano? We outscored them. What are you guys complaining about?"
Well, it's a 3-7 team for one thing. You know, they won their first SEC game, what, last week or week before last against Vanderbilt, their first in 11 games. You know, and if you give up 700 yards to a team like that and we're not worried about it, I mean, and just like Dubsy said, hey, if not this year, then when? And I can tell you this, they'll never win the SEC East with him as coach. Just that simple.
Now, you don't know that. Now, let me ask you guys this. What if Garantano's a superstar?
Well, Tony, we've got some superstars out there. We don't have any linemen, period. You look at our linemen and compare them to these other teams.
No, that's true.
They don't even look the same.
No, that's true.
Our guys have no definition in their arms. They ran off Dave Lawson because he was too hard on them. They didn't do the heavy lifts.
That's true.
That's why they've got a lot of injuries this year, Tony.
Oh, I don't know that. And you don't know that either. Now, here's what I believe.
What I got was all they worked out with is the shake weight.
That's exactly right.
and that new twister thing, that new color
shake away.
they've got a ton of thigh masters just waiting to be mastered.
They got that twister core deal going.
Yeah, and they got the treadmill and get up 23 miles an hour and then jump on it. Oh, we're in shape. Let's go, guys. Let's go win a national championship.
Right. Oh, my gosh. But I will say this. I think the offensive line philosophy under Butch Jones doesn't help the offensive line mature, grow, those things. Because you're not physically trying to maul people. You're not exerting your will on people. Right. I think it's a silly philosophy, personally, in this league.
Well, I don't think they're physically able to if you look at them. And you know, we talked about last week, Tony. They come in, some of the players don't like Dave Lawson. Well, Dave Lawson's not, you know, Dave Lawson makes them do this. Well, let's just get rid of Dave Lawson. Now, can you imagine that happening?
Mariano, you know what the big thing, it's not even that. You know what the big thing was with Dave Lawson?
Well, the music.
He wouldn't let them play their music.
Yeah. Well, that too. I mean, a little discipline, Sean, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, that we're the weakest physically weakest team that I've ever seen us have to, period. I mean, we don't drive anybody back except Barnett, maybe. Yeah. So.
Mariano, we won. Say something positive on the way out.
The season ends after next Saturday.
Thank you, Mariano. That's not positive. That's not a good thing.
I don't believe there was any pass interference calls today.
I think you're right. I think we played the pass up. Well,
no.
That's because they were.
Pass interference calls. They went ahead and caught the ball today.
No, there was a great. There was a pretty solid pass interference on Galdin.
Oh, that's right. That was called in the end zone.
Bad.
That's right.
My bad.
He didn't turn all the way around. He got kind of turned around. And
we lead the country
we'll
pass
that
interference,
one.
Man.
Oh, crash we're gonna that. Get you're gonna get your pass eye now. You're gonna get your pass eye. Let's go back to our busy phones. 865-200.
You know what? I've got a new. If it doesn't work out for Drew Richmond,
yes.
in the NFL, he could always be a doorman. I mean, because he just lets anybody in.
Let's go get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Tony, you know what really stinches my nostrils?
What gets in your nostrils?
Rick Barnes and this basketball team.
That's right. That's great.
I mean, is he just eating Krispy Kreme donuts on his couch and just checking his checks in.
Dobbsy, you were ripping me like last year when I was ripping Rick Barnes when it wasn't cool, because I was country on Rick Barnes when it wasn't cool. Are you still ripping me on ripping Rick Barnes? Dobbsy.
I mean, I'm not giving up on Rick Barnes. I understand why everybody's frustrated, because it was a bait and switch. We thought we were getting Rick Barnes who's going to recruit, and we're not. It doesn't mean he can't win, but I did see a picture of him chilling with Bill Walton today. I wonder if Bill hooked him up with some of that Maui Wowie out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of that Hindu Kush.
Oh, by the way, we have a call-in show. I'll be on opposite you Monday, Dobbsy. May the best man
Bring
win.
It on, brother.
May the best man win.
Bring it
but as
on.
Soon as the Maui game's over. And then what about our Tuesday game? When do we play them? Tuesday, do you know?
I don't know.
We play somebody. Anyway, yeah, we're looking forward to the
You're
Maui Classic.
Show for basketball?
Hell yeah. People are into it. This audience, like this caller right here, don't you demand that? Don't you demand the call?
I demand it.
Say, thank you. And I got to listen to my callers.
It's call of the day right here.
Yeah.
And let's not talk about this football season.
Yes.
I mean, can we talk about the future? Like, what bowl game are we going to?
That's a great question. Okay, how about this? Win next week and I think it's going to be a really difficult game to win next week. I do. It's going to be a really interesting game. Win next week, and I think this team can politic its way, because we're going to sell the tickets, into the Sugar Bowl. And I think if this team goes to the Sugar Bowl for the first time in over a quarter century, and Cinco, you were on staff last time we went, weren't you? Were you there? The Virginia game?
Play Virginia. And don't forget, caller, that the Fighting Serranos are right around the corner.
Oh, I'm wearing my Rod Delmonico baseball jersey tonight on the Periscope in honor.
Nice.
Of the festivities.
Well, I'm filled with
hope.
But,
the Sugar Bowl, I think, if Tennessee wins next week, will be the destination, hopefully, if we can politic our way into it.
You got a lame duck AD. He's
that's
not
right.
fighting for that.
No, he's not. And that's, yeah. But, thank you.
I mean, Josh Dobbs.
Awesome.
Heck of a game. 413 scrimmage yards. Five touchdowns.
Awesome. Second week in a row. Two on the ground, three passing. That is two awesome days turned in by a guy going out. That is absolutely wonderful, man. Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's going to be a long time before we get a warrior and an all-around player like Josh Dobbs again.
There's no question, and I appreciate your phone call. What's going to be really interesting, though, guys, is next year seeing Garantano in this offense. How do they modify it? Is his buddy going to be back as coordinator? Is his buddy going to slide over and coach the offensive line? They bring in a quarterback's coach / offensive coordinator. Bob Shoup, I hear, does not get along with our head coach. I don't know if he's going to be back next year. I'm just going to be. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it would not surprise me.
I think you could have two new coordinators.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, but this is another problem with Butch.
Which is?
Is consistent personnel / player evaluations, putting guys in the wrong. He made a couple of big mistakes. In hindsight, he shouldn't have gotten rid of Jancic. Jancic did a better job last year. He's a better coordinator than Bob Shoup. People don't want to hear that,
no,
now, but that's the
that.
Truth. He shouldn't have gotten rid of his strength and conditioning coach.
That's very true.
That's blown up in his face. He's made several personnel decisions as far as players playing in the wrong position this year. The guy has just mismanaged this thing at every turn.
Now, wait a second. We're still going to finish 9-3.
Maybe.
You guys make it sound like the damn floor's falling.
They're not going to Atlanta, and there's no reason to think they will take a step forward next year.
I'll tell you, Sean, what blows my mind, Sean Sinclair, is, and then we'll go back to our phones, is that this guy at Florida, though his ship is riddled with bullet holes and leaks, has made it to shore 2 years in a row, and he's the first guy in the history of this league in his first 2 years at a school to make it to the SEC championship game. How is my question? How?
Because this is being for the same reason that Gary Peeple did 2 years in a row. The East is garbage, and Tennessee didn't take care of their opportunity.
Back to our phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello, and welcome into our next caller.
Hey, Tony, it's Eric. How are you?
Hey, Eric. Welcome in, man.
I'll give you a clue as to how bad teams keep making it to the dome. Drizzling. I'll stop there. You're right. The SEC East is a mess. And I'm with you guys there. Is that Russell that's laying it down on
yeah, it's
on
Dubsy.
Coach Jones?
Dubsy, yep.
Dubsy. Right on. Listen. I'm fine. The season is pretty much what it is at this point, all right? Your record is what it is. 8 wins. Go out there and fight. Look, you get the win. You almost don't care about the yards at this point because you're not going to play for a championship. They still did well. One thing off to the side here, you said something about Guarantano. Look, man, what they're going to do to change the offense for him? Nothing. They're not going to change a thing for him. They're going to say you have to fit in. You're going to have to be this peg to fit into this hole. This is how it's going to work, period. This is how it's going to work, kid. You're going to have to fit into this hole. He ain't changing nothing for you. If you're not going to give a lead blocker for a guy like Jalen Hurd, you ain't going to do crap for Jarrett Guarantano either.
Cinco, are you believing that the offense is better next year with Guarantano at center, under center?
Absolutely. I wouldn't change the offense one way or the other. And I tell you what, I wouldn't have 10 lead blockers in front of Jalen Hurd. He's the third best back on the team. He's not good enough to feature in any offense, let alone this offense. If he had a fullback, who cares? I mean, he had the same lame offensive line that these other guys did, and John Kelly's running wild, and what's-his-face had a game for the ages at A&M. I wouldn't do anything to an offense to feature Jalen Hurd. I mean, he's not Eddie George.
He wasn't Derrick Henry.
Go ahead, Eric.
We talked about this though back earlier in the season. You know, when it was Hurd going out before we knew about the whole cancer thing, that it was him versus about 7 guys just about every play, and nobody's going to succeed that way. Nobody. All right, that's all I'm saying. As far as what Butch is for the future, that's the disappointing thing to sit here exactly like Dubsy is saying, and you just look at the future and you're saying this is it. You guys are talking. You know, Butch is talking about we've gotten to 8 wins again this season. And look, man, you've already reached the peak. You've reached the peak with Butch. This is peak Butch. Beta Jones, okay?
Yep.
This is as good as it gets. This is the peak for Butch.
Now, wait, do we know that? And what if this guy at quarterback next year is the be-all and end-all that he recruited?
Then we still have to deal with Bob Shoup. Wait a second.
Look at what happened at Clemson. Look at what happened at Clemson when Taj Boyd walked out there. All of a sudden, that guy that's the coach was legitimate. I mean, that's what a great quarterback does for you. Look at that Lamar Jackson guy and the way he raised Louisville this year. Come on, man. I mean, seriously.
I think, you know, I support, is it Eric? Is that right?
Eric,
I'll tell you what. Look, they trotted out number 10 in the country to begin this year and didn't show up for the Appalachia State game.
Thank you.
They slept, walked, they played two halves of complete football this whole year. The second half of Florida, and then the give me another one. They
Virginia Tech. They blew them out. It was awesome. It was an awesome display.
They have not represented any. They're not even 19 right now. I mean, they haven't shown up. There's been discord. Every position on that team, save Daniel and Barnett, have regressed from last year.
Yeah.
Every single one.
And watch this. What if we get to, I mean, let's say, okay, so there's some reason to be a little hopeful at the end of the season. We get past Vanderbilt. It's bowl time. You got a month to heal up. You get some bodies back. So are we only going to give up 500 yards of offense, maybe 400? This is still Bob Shute coaching his defense, right? So what's going to change? I'll tell you what. I think they're going to do what they want and be who they are, Tom. I think this might be what you get, and it might be what you get next year too. The only thing, I'll say this on the way out, guys. The thing that really scares me about maybe, Butch Jones being a flight risk, and personally, if he wants to fly, the only thing that's stopping me from loading him into the cannon to go ahead and let him fly is the thought of who's going to choose his replacement.
That's There's no doubt about that. Me. I mean, you have it the blind leading the blind. Unless you get Blackburn on that campus at once.
Well, that's the thing that's,
brother,
so
that's the blind
about
leading the blind.
Is Butch Jones is going to be
Thank you, Eric.
On the hot seat heading into next year.
That's
he's not
correct.
Going anywhere.
That's right.
But he's on the hot seat now.
That's right.
That is the perception. That is the reality.
That is true.
And he is not going to be able to attract elite-level assistant coaches, just like Derek Dooley wasn't in 2013, because elite assistant coaches don't want to come play for a coach with a coach who's probably not going to be there in the future.
A couple Periscopers have made me laugh. One guy said, Congbo, we're burning incense for you tonight after your touchdown. That was a very good use of...
Hit the Jimmy drops!
Incense burning and also my man Akeem Freeze mm-hmm. down there. Very good. And then somebody asked me if fake Jalen Hurd is a better back than real Jalen Hurd. Cinco, on social media, there's a on my Twitter timeline, have you heard about this, Dubsy? There was a Jalen Hurd sighting in Neyland Stadium.
Oh, yeah. It was some kid who looks
just like him. And the poor kid got harassed in Neyland Stadium today for looking like Jalen Hurd.
That's
sad.
Did his fake mom take on the SWAT team again?
Oh, no.
Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Tony.
Yes.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, welcome in, brother.
Mejor dia de la mata.
La dia de la mata.
Mejor dia de la mata.
Tony, it was one of those games where, obviously, you know, in the second quarter, we saw what happened with LSU in Florida, and you just had to love the big orange, you know. You just had to sit there and say, we're just going to enjoy this game for what it is, a game of football. It sucks that things happened the way they did, but it is what it is, and it was a beautiful day.
I loved it.
For Josh Dobbs.
I love seeing the seniors have their moment, him have his moment. It's what college football is all about. It's what separates it from the pro game. You get your time. Tennessee chose to not let those two juniors that are going to leave, no doubt, run out of the tunnel and all that, you know, and have a senior moment, which I think is the right thing to do in retrospect. Butch Jones today, in calling a timeout and letting the crowd give, the crowd that was left, give the quarterback a standing ovation at the end of the game was the absolute right thing to do. I applaud those things. I think we need to point those things out and celebrate those things in the midst of the global conversation we're having about the program and the missed opportunities this year. And there's also a place for that tonight as well. But you're right.
Are you as excited about the Sugar Bowl as everybody else is?
I've said all week, you know, to me that's a sweet consolation prize. I wrote that in the blog on Tuesday, Wednesday, just kind of projecting ahead. Look, I was saying on my show this week that I had a sick feeling in my stomach about that LSU game, because here's the truth about Florida. Florida has found a way through the years to get to that title game in years where they shouldn't be there. And this is one of those years. Last year was one of those years. And LSU, am I going to count on the Mad Melungeon to manage that game and get LSU home? Am I going to count on the Mad Melungeon to manage that game? And I had a sick feeling about it. I mean, look, LSU can't play offensively. Doc Sinclair, yeah. I haven't asked you about that game. Was that not an amazing, just, I don't even know what you, like, suicide in the red zone they committed today? Three times. LSU today.
Yeah, but certainly they did, but you can't expect LSU to do your heavy lifting.
No, I'm just talking about that game today. And that's just the way things go around here.
Yep, that's right.
But anyway, go ahead to my caller. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You know, it is what it is. Like I said, I mean, it was pretty much one of those games where you just had to sit back, relax, and enjoy the Josh Dobbs show. And it was fun to watch. It was good to see him on his last game in Neyland. Going down to Nashville next weekend to see the home game at Vandy. You know, it's essentially a home game, so it's going to be a good time. But
absolutely, and I'm having a listener watch party out at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse out there on Kingston Pike, and it's going to be an awesome time. And I hope our crowd will show up and won't have a hangover, and we can enjoy together the Thanksgiving season and get together as a family and enjoy things. Don't run away. Don't run away and hide. That's no solution. We got to enjoy this. Enjoy every minute you're alive. But listen,
right.
I appreciate your call. And thank you for checking in with us, my friend. Thank you.
Mejor dia de la mata.
All right. Somebody's asked me, how do the Vols get to the Sugar Bowl? Here's how the process works. There's a selection committee. And it has nothing to do with the bowl games themselves. It's the New Year's Day 6 selection committee, and they select. But why do they select? And why do they select who they select, when, how, and why? They select based on who's coming to our game. Now, there was a thought out there today, if LSU would have won, that they were going to go to the Sugar Bowl, which probably would have been true, because we would have then gone down to Atlanta, had another loss, and bang. And then LSU could have slid into that game. Now as it is, I mean, I'm of the belief that once Tennessee fans get over the sting of not getting to Atlanta, and there is a sting to that, I'm of the belief, Russell, that that's not a bad consolation prize, man, to go to the Sugar Bowl.
It's not, but I'll have to check on this, Tony, but
go ahead.
Think that the Sugar Bowl is different the way its current contract is set up. I think that they are contractually obligated to take the highest, the second best team in the SEC, essentially, that doesn't go to the playoffs.
Right, and who would that be?
Well, I don't know. Tennessee looks like they're going to go 9-3.
Right.
Florida only has two losses, so they're going to go.
But they're going to get knocked back when they lose to Alabama. They're going to kill. And they're going to lose to Florida State next week.
Auburn
right?
is 7-3. They'll lose to Alabama.
Thank you.
Texas A&M is 8-3.
And they're going to lose again.
Who do they have?
They have LSU at the end of the year. They lose every year.
I don't know about that. So yeah, I mean,
we're right there in it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're in the conversation.
Okay. And it's going to be a deal. It's going to be who sells the most tickets, because they'll move you up according to that rank. You know, that's just the way that whole thing's going to work. 865-200-5402. Let's grab our next call. If you want to get in with us on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction on a day where Tennessee wins 63-37 and on a night where West Virginia is learning a lesson up in the snow. And what is that lesson, Russell? What is the lesson that West Virginia, who currently trails 21-0 to Oklahoma, is learning?
Don't go messing with big game Bob Shoot.
You better believe it.
Stoops.
You better believe it. You better believe it. And as somebody's telling me here, speed kills, because they are getting run over. And I mean,
and that's who Tennessee would probably play.
Yeah. Yeah, I want them. I want them.
Third shot at Oklahoma. Boy, how... All right, I'm not going to be... I was going to say, how is Butch going to screw that one up? But I'm not going to say that, Tony. Not because I'm being too negative.
865-200-5-4... 865-200-5402. 8 minutes to go in the third. Alabama just 14-3 over Tennessee Chattanooga. But here's the thing: Bama's holding that score down. Look, Saban does that in all their bye games. People who play them to cover, more power to you. But he holds a score down on everybody. Let's go to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, folks? How we doing?
Hey, appreciate you being there. Thank you.
Hey, man, it's T-Carp. How are you doing, Dubsy?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Hey, doing good. My stomach's kind of feeling a little weird after the last couple of meals, but I'm feeling pretty decent.
Good, man. So what's on your mind tonight?
Dude, Chattanooga, I think it's good to see Knoxville area teams do well and give Alabama the what for. Yeah, Alabama is holding that score down. I'll give you that. But it's
sure.
Really nice to see. Also, thank you, Dubsy, for being honest when it comes to this and being truthful. When it comes to this team, yeah, we should have won the East. There's no question about it. I remember calling your show a couple months back and giving score predictions before the season. And I was a sheep. I was 11-1. I drank the orange Kool-Aid. But I also gave you a reason. I said, if not this year, when? Tell me when. When you have a senior quarterback, when you had, at that time, a junior running back and Jalen Hurd coming back, you had a new defensive coordinator, you had everything lined up. All the preseason chips were in our favor, and we still somehow find a way to not do it. And Tony, you said it perfectly. You know, Florida finds a way every year, it seems like, to get to the SEC championship when they're not supposed to be. Why can't that be us? Like, what have we done wrong? Like, what's the problem? Me living in Blount County, am I spoiled because I see Maryville win all the time against competition that's supposed to just dominate them, against players that are just supposed to dominate all the Maryville players, and I see them just destroy it, and I see Coach Cool's dissect so many teams. Am I spoiled there?
You know, the thing about this season is obviously the injuries. And CBS threw up a graphic today, and I flashed a screenshot of it. And the heading was volunteers needed. And Jalen Hurd, this is everything that's going on this season, okay? Jalen Hurd leaves team. Preston Williams leaves team. Danny O'Brien dismissed from the team. Jalen Reeves may have been injured. Dylan Wiseman injured, Todd Kelly Jr. injured, Chance Hall injured, Evan Berry injured, Shy Tuttle, McKenzie, Corte Sapp, and really there you're just kind of scratching the surface. So, look, this team had way more than their fair share of injuries, plus outside noise, clutter, nonsense. But what really sickens me is Florida lost Marcus May. They lost their interior line. They lost their offense. They lost two guys off an offensive line that couldn't play. And they shoved LSU all over the damn field today. And I'm sitting there watching that going, what? And here's the thing. Even when they weren't, they were hanging in the game somehow. And I just wonder sometimes if it's just expectation, the expectation of their program versus the expectation of our coach, who stood up tonight. Russell Smith, for those just joining, those of you who got in your car a little late, what did our coach tell the media after the game tonight? Because this kind of boggles my mind.
he said, I'm paraphrasing, there were two parts to it. We never talk about winning the East. You've never heard me talk about it. We never talk about it with the team, which is stupid. And we just won 8 games, which hasn't been done here in a long time, which is stupid, because he did it last year.
So, but other than that, and here's the thing. I had a guy on, Chris Harry, who covers the Florida Gators for one of the sites down there, and he said these are 2 rebuilding years for the Florida Gators. They're coming off firing a coach. That's the thing that's frustrating. That's the thing that's frustrating.
I wish we were rebuilding and still getting to the SEC East and making it to the SEC
Championship
every year.
What's it going to look like when you get your What's it going to look like when you get your players there?
Well, they aren't recruiting at that level, by the way.
Oh, they're not. No, they're absolutely not. That's no question.
If they're rebuilding, they're not rebuilding like Florida rebuilds.
Oh my goodness! It's going to be bad when he gets his team in there, his players, and that I still hold out hope for Butch Jones. I don't believe in him, but here's my hope that he makes some changes on the coaching staff next year. He gets a new offensive coordinator. He might be looking for a new defensive coordinator. I don't know, but he needs a new offensive coordinator and a new strength and conditioning coach. And he needs to hire a quarterback, an actual quarterback's coach. And then I will... I'll give him another chance. I'll feel like I believe in him again.
T-Carp,
yes,
my guy. What offensive coordinator worth his salt is going to want to come jump on Butch Jones' staff for 1 year when he's on the hot seat?
Jared, you got that. All-star guy at quarterback.
So you're going to coach a redshirt freshman? Yeah, they've got some things to sell, but you're not going to get a significant upgrade over DeBoer.
Well, I disagree with that. You throw out $1 million a year for 3-year contract with what you're going to have to do, there'll be any number of guys wanting to come here.
But you're going to have to give him autonomy. The real issue is autonomy. Autonomy over time.
For this guy.
Well, that's going to be the trick. Yeah, he's nutty. Appreciate you, T. Carp. And that's the other thing about him. That's why he needs an athletic director in the worst way, a strong AD. Because if you have a strong AD, this suicide by tongue that he does with the fan base constantly, that's not going to go on. If Blackburn's over there, Blackburn's not going to put up with that. He's going to go coach. Do you realize what you did? Like that day after the South Carolina game, when Butch goes to the press conference and just takes acid and throws it all over your wounds.
I thought you said he takes acid.
He would say to him, Coach, look, you know, you can't say that. The next time you're in that spot, here's what you're going to say. He just needs some guidance. This guy needs some guidance.
Tony, that's what we said about Buzz Peterson at the end. Oh, just bring Eddie Fogler to sit on his bench.
No, I want him fired.
No, man. When you're talking about, like, the head coach needs guidance, it's over at that point. Who's ever won big having their hand held in college football? It's never happened before.
865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in, and let's move our next. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Hi, Tony. This is Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. Welcome in, brother.
I just wanted to ask you a question. When was the last time that Tennessee won a game and you thought that they overachieved? Now, the reason I say that is I believe that overachievement is the best benchmark of coaching excellence.
Good point.
When was the last time we won a game where you really feel that we overachieved?
That is
under Butch Jones.
Under Butch Jones. Has that happened, guys, under Butch Jones, where we won a game we shouldn't have won? Can anybody think?
I don't know if it fits, but I think they're two bowl games. Looking back, maybe they weren't great, but
but the performance they put in the bowl games, I thought, was a little overachieving.
South Carolina year two was a great win. South Carolina, that year, that win kept them out of playing for the possible national championship. That was a great win for Tennessee. That South Carolina team was much better than Tennessee. The year that what's-his-face went, did he go one or two in the draft? Clowney?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that first year they were a top-10 team. I mean,
that was a very good win.
Yeah.
But your point is, I would like to see our program every once in a while give us a moment like what Florida gave today. Florida went down there and put their balls on the line and put it out there.
They overachieved.
And they overachieved. They won. They were a 14-point dog on the road. I mean, it was ridiculous that they were even in that damn game. It made me so angry, frustrated, and jealous all at the same time.
Florida does that two or three times a year.
Well, I don't know about
that. And we do it once in 4 years.
I don't know about that.
Well, just think about that.
Well,
and that will may answer some of these questions. But I love your show. I agree we should love it while we have it, though.
Love it, man. I'm loving every. You know why? Because in 3 weeks, you know what it's going to be? Basketball time in Tennessee! And when that happens, brother, it's going to be all over but the shouting. Of course, I'll be doing a call-in show.
We fielded your teams this year.
Love your show, Tony.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Are you bullish on Rick Barnes' basketball Vols Cinco after what you've seen in the early going?
Who's the coach again?
865-200-5402. I got to get up and stretch my legs. As I remind you, ladies and germs, that portions are presented of your smart way. Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction by my man Marcos Garza, who, personal testimonial, whatever you do, if you have insurance and you're in the health insurance game these days, don't need to use it. Okay? Don't need to use it. Because if you do, chances are you're going to need a man like Marcos Garza to fight for your family like he fought for mine. And Marcos, I hope I'm not speaking out of school right now, but I want to personally thank you for what you did for my family and helping us. Because if it weren't for him, we would have been stuck with some serious medical bills that I don't have the money to pay. And it was not right. It was in our policy. It was covered. But that's the world that we live in, unfortunately. And in that world, ladies and gentlemen, Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm here for you, treating clients like family. And I want to invite you to go to GarzaLaw.com, and Marcos does it all. The way I've been put through the ringer in my family, through the system in the last 6 months, I feel for everybody involved because it's a complete mess. It is an absolute mess. And those of us, the working person, gets absolutely dinged and punked. Absolutely punked. Let me remind you what you're listening to here. I got to stretch my legs. Give me a segunda.
You're listening to the wildest and wooliest post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction with your host, Tony Basilio. Tony needs to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for more of the fifth quarter. If you're new to the world of Tony Basilio, welcome to the nerve center of the Big Orange Universe. It starts with TonyBasilio.com. If you want the truth, and nothing but the truth, on what's going on at the University of Tennessee, TonyBasilio.com's your place, and it's absolutely free. Unlike other sites, Tony doesn't hide the good stuff behind a paywall. TonyBasilio.com. It's all out there for you. Strong recruiting information and analysis from X. Insider information from the Vol Colonel and Orange Throat. Sharp opinions from basketball expert Keith Hatfield and all-around sports guy Jeff Beano Henderson. And of course, no one brings it online like Tony Basilio, with a lot of good emails from his fans. Then Monday through Friday, it's the best 2 hours of sports radio for a Vol fan, as the Tony Basilio Show airs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 1180 a.m. The VLC and the Tony Basilio app. Tony has great co-hosts like Vino on Mondays and Fridays, and Dr. Sean Sinclair dishes on Vol football every Wednesday. Sometimes Tony just can't stop in 2 hours. That's when the Fairways and Greens 19th hole kicks in. But you need the Tony Basilio app on your smartphone or tablet to listen when things get really cranked up. Nobody keeps the big orange fan up to date and in the know like Tony Basilio. Now, back to the best post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fan Reaction. And your host, who's been keeping it real for the big orange universe for nearly a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Basilio.
Pretty outstanding. I'd like to thank Doc Sinclair there for playing the music behind that song there. Thank you, Doc.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
865-200-5402. I'm going through an Eric Johnson book right now, and I'm like, there's so much theory in it that it's just kind of, well, it just kind of made my head hurt. But anyway, let's go back to our phones without further ado here on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. And then I'm going to jump Beano the Great in here momentarily. And by the way, the great Mark Griffin listening to me on Maui at the beach tells me
happy
right
now. Happy birthday.
Griff, happy birthday, baby! Griff tells me that Derek Dooley was on the Sugar Bowl Virginia team that Tennessee played.
Yep.
Is that really true?
I think so.
Yep, Herman Moore.
Who's that quarterback they had?
Sean Jones. Good player.
Got hurt like midway. Like they were going to win the national championship that year.
Oh, yeah.
And he got hurt and then came back against
Tennessee
in the bowl game.
Herman Moore and that Jones guy. Or was it Sean Moore? Anyway, it might have been Sean Moore. But I'll say this for that era. I saw the special, that ESPN 30 for 30 on the Colorado team of that era. My gosh, there were some great college football played in those days. That Colorado team that had all those kids out of Southern California, that year Tennessee played them in the Pigskin Classic. Brother, there was some serious talent on both those sides. Cinco, am I lying? That team Colorado had that year was unreal.
Yeah, and Bienemy didn't even play that game.
That's right.
He was hurt.
That's right. No Eric the Enemy, as we used to call him. 865-200-5402, and here's your crazy.
Have you seen him lately? He looks like he ate Terry Bowden.
He's a pretty big boy now. Let's go to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome.
T. Boz, I got to give you credit. You're doing your best Haley Mills impersonation tonight. I know it's hard after the letdown from the noon game today, but at some point you got to put Pollyanna aside and keep it real.
Oh,
it's really disappointing what happened today.
Oh, it sucks. I mean, it's like getting kicked in the face, but we're still going to go to the Sugar Bowl and win 9 games, which isn't terrible.
Sean, I want to go back to something you mentioned a minute ago about being in over your head. Butch Jones may be the Fleetwood Mac of college football coaches this year. He is, there have been a couple of instances. Hey guys, we really haven't talked a lot of X's and O's in the last few weeks, in case y'all hadn't noticed. There hadn't been a lot of discussion about that. I want to go back to two different times this season where you look at the scenario and scratch your head. The first was when we were beating Florida at the end of the game. Do y'all remember what happened when we were trying to run the clock out against Florida at the end of the game?
It was a total cluster.
Yeah, we had it down to where we literally had to run three plays to run the clock out, and we couldn't even get the play in on third down. It had to do what?
We called timeout. Yeah. Did they take like a delay of game or something? I mean, it was, yeah.
It hasn't been. It's been tough this year. It hasn't been perfect, but that's college football.
Well, hold on, Tony. Then let's go to the South Carolina game. We have yet to discuss on this show, I believe, unless I missed it. Now, as you guys know, I listen pretty regularly. Did we ever get into the 4th-and-2 sequence at the end of the first half against South Carolina, where Tennessee ran Pilardi on to kick a 54-yard field goal, then called a timeout? Ran the offense onto the field. They couldn't get lined up right. Jennings goes in motion. We have to call another timeout. They come right back with the exact same formation, the same play, and they run a bootleg, and Dobbs takes a sack.
That South Carolina game that's the thing. You just can't get the taste out of your mouth from it.
That's Florida dumb right there.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
My point is, those are pretty simple scenarios to manage from the sideline. Pretty easy. And for some reason, we can't get it done. And yep. When you can't get things like that done, the little things, like Jones likes to talk about,
right?
That's when you're positioned relying on an interim coaching staff at LSU to win a game over Florida and their backup offensive line and their backup defensive front. And, oh, by the way, Tony, that tomato can quarterback.
That's what? Say it again.
And that tomato can quarterback of Florida.
Did you see him throw?
That was a hard game to watch.
He threw that one long ball out of the end zone, and the kid not only caught the ball when they were back in the shadow of the end zone, they just threw it up. And the kid not only caught, the Cleveland kid not only caught it, but he kept his feet in bounds somehow and scored. I mean, Florida got so damn lucky today, it's scary. It's scary. But it happened.
I don't know how it happened,
but it happened.
Well, what's going to be worse is when that 89, it wasn't Callaway, what was the other receiver's name that caught that pass?
Yeah, Cleveland. It was crazy.
When he gets suspended, he'll get suspended tomorrow or Monday is my guess.
There's no doubt, man. Yep.
I really am proud of those seniors, though, Tony, because they've been through a lot. I really appreciate the way Jones handled Dobbs at the end of the game.
Yep.
Maybe the best timeout he's ever taken.
Now, is that a shot, or are you really proud of him for what he?
That's a BOB shot right there.
I'll leave it open for interpretation. But here's my question, Sean Sinclair. Here's my question from you. Where do we go from here? Because it's pretty clear to me, and I think it's pretty clear to you, Sean, and Russell, too. And Tony, I think, deep down knows this. He just doesn't want to admit it when he says, is Butch Jones the guy for here? I think Tony really knows this. But where do we go from here, Sean? Is it going to be really dependent on who he hires an athletic director?
BLB, I said earlier in the show that we're in purgatory right now because I believe we've got a guy that's good enough. He's essentially, he's Ray Goff. He's that type. He's the guy that's gonna recruit well enough. He's gonna win 8 or 9 games, but he can't finish. He couldn't finish games last year. He couldn't finish his season this year. So I don't have any hate for him. I don't want him fired, but I'm resigned that he's not special.
But do you believe he's the guy?
But wait a second. Wait a second. Special. Who in this league outside of Saban guys is special? Is anybody in the East special? You guys that want to fire Butch Jones. Is anybody in the East special?
No, but I would say that I don't think he's even Mark Richt quality.
Well, I mean, hell, Mark Richt was a great coach. Mark Richt will be a Hall of Fame level coach one day. I mean, Mark Richt, in the year he got fired, won 10 games. They were just sick of looking at him. But my question is, who in the league is a guy at Auburn special? Is a guy at Arkansas special? Like, we throw the term special around. It's nearly impossible to find somebody special. You got a guy.
Well, Tony, I don't need special. I just need competent.
Yes.
I'm not asking for special. I'm just asking for somebody who can finish.
Well, put it this way, Tony, you make fun of Kirby Dumb.
Yes.
And Will Muschamp.
Yes.
And tell me why Butch Jones tell me why their respective fans shouldn't feel the same way about Butch Jones.
Well, you got me there. No, you're right. No, but Butch Jones in the game manager.
He's special to win the East, Tony. That's the whole point. Nobody in the East is special. We should be able to win it with this roster.
Well, as Eric said, because Butch Jones works here. That's what he, you guys are getting me ripped right now.
Well, Tony, I'm coming off the top rope on Butch today, but I have not called for his head.
Right.
And I'm still processing this.
Right.
I'm not going to make some rash knee-jerk and I don't know what the answer is. All
right.
I know is that he should be held accountable because
I only had one goal this year, which is to win this crummy, stinking division and go to Atlanta and get our teeth kicked in by Alabama for the second year in a row. That's what had to happen this year, and he failed to do that. And that is a major letdown. And for him to get up there tonight and say, we haven't won eight games in a lot, we never talked about what it, bullshit, dude. You suck. You failed this year. Don't
yes.
try and tell us
yes.
that we haven't, that we've accomplished something special this year. This is mediocre season at best.
It's Ole Miss, Russell, is what it is. Ole Miss in the 80s.
Well, I'd like to know why, if it's not, why is it that Trace Armstrong's looking to call North Carolina State and other lesser schools around the country, if there'd be an opening, would they be interested?
Sean, let me do one better. Have you heard the rumor about the NFL?
What?
He'll get less offers from the NFL than the board guy.
The NFL? Who would offer him a job in the NFL? Maybe outside of the Cleveland Browns. Because they're absurd. The NFL?
I'm just telling you what's floating around out there.
Floating around? In the toilet bowl?
You break.
Hey, thank you for the call, B.O.B. Thanks.
Love you guys.
All right.
Love B.O.B.
Cinco, give me a final thought here on the way out, brah, brah. Thank you for joining.
Well, like Russell, you haven't heard me call for his head. I'm just readjusting my, I've given the guy 4 years. You said 5 years without a championship. Okay, I'll go 5 years. But as right now, I don't know who said it before. It was a couple weeks ago, but they said, you know what? If this is the standard, this is the expectation, then that's fine. Then that's the way we'll do it. You know, but this kind of result does not deserve a 3-hour post-game show that you do for pretty much nothing. It doesn't deserve 102.455 every game. It doesn't deserve 40 grand, you know, sitting outside of Vol Walk. I mean, if 8 wins and 9 wins, and by the way, 8 wins, 9 wins in a 12-game season now. But if that's the standard, then so be it. That's fine. But let's get real here. I mean, the complaint that he's the ninth paid coach of it. Okay, we'll make you the eighth one. You shouldn't really be higher than that, because that's the result we're getting. But hey, I want, you know, with all that said, there's a lot of disappointment going around. I want to congratulate the seniors. They've been through a heck of a lot. They have made this program significantly better than it was when they were freshmen. The guys that stuck around, that did what they were supposed to do, that really put in the time, whether you were a star or you weren't a star, whether you were a scholarship player or you were a walk-on player, I want you to know that I appreciate you. You have brought Tennessee back to a level that it can now compete where it couldn't compete. Josh Dobbs, who I've gone on and said I didn't think he was much more than an average SEC quarterback, I think he's had some great games here lately. I look forward to the way it's going to happen here. And I echo what Russell said. It's bullcrap what Butch Jones is doing. We're not stupid. I mean, he's acting like a millennial that's in his 40s. I mean, come on, get real, man. I mean, it's just buck up. You know, talk to us like it's real and go on. That's all we're asking.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much for having me, Russell.
You're the man.
It was great to share the mic with you, and I'll be listening when Beano comes on.
Thank you, brother. 865-200-5402, the open invitation now out to Beano to join us. If you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. West Virginia is just getting the absolute hell beaten out of them tonight, Dubsy. I mean, what in the world?
Yeah, I mean,
what in the world?
Could be worse. You could be West Virginia getting housed by 28 in the first half on your home field.
Yeah.
You could be Texas.
Yeah.
But hey, at least Texas knows Tom Herman will probably be leading them out of the tunnel next year.
First time since 1928 they lose to Kansas. That's a lot of football.
Wow.
That's a lot of football. That's a lot of water under the bridge right there.
Way back to the Great Depression.
There's
Texas fans are probably pretty depressed right now.
Who was it today? they did a story on game day, and I'm not a game day watcher, but this morning I happened to get up late. There's a guy who keeps stats for somebody who's 106 years old.
Wow.
And he's been doing that job for over 60 years, and he played at this school where he's keeping the stats. It was one of the neatest things. And you know what he said about being 106? He said, I got to shave 10 years off my age so I can get me some dates.
All right.
The guy is so cool looking.
Yeah, playa.
Let's go to the phones. The guy looked more real than Dave Hart. Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Tony Basilio. Russell, where can they find you? Tell the living listener where they can find you.
Well, I'm on Fox Sports Knoxville, weekdays from 3 to 6, 1340 a.m. here in town, online at foxsportsknoxville.com, and I'm on Twitter, at Russell the Drive.
Did the 55-year-old walk-on get to play today? Is that that's
Yeah, he got a carry.
Was that what game tonight? This game, right? Well, what game was it?
South Carolina Upstate, whoever he plays for, okay. Whoever they're playing against. He got a carry.
I was telling my son, I'd like to see somebody fold that guy up like a cheap man.
Well, that's morbid.
Let's get our next call in. Sushi Spot, Shane Reed. Special shout out to my friends at the Sushi Spot, Yoshihio, to you. I love y'all. Before we get Beanstar in here. In fact, you know what I'm going to do?
What kind of recruiting is that guy doing? Recruiting a 50-year-old? Like, where do you find him?
55-year-old walk-on.
Is that a huddle film or
55-year-old walk-on.
Who do you choose South Carolina Upstate over?
Moosehead Moose of the game. I'm gonna let Beanstar crown him.
It's time for the Moosehead Moose of the game, honoring the most bruising player in today's game. Presented by Moosehead Lager, brewing winners since 1867. Pour yourself a cold one. Now let's give it up for your Moosehead Moose of the game.
Wow! Outlast, Beanstar. Before I even say hello to you, lay it on me, brah brah. Who is the Moosehead Moose of the game?
Moose hit most of the game, Tony. He struggled against Missouri throughout his career, but he certainly didn't today. Josh Dobbs, Moosehead Moose of the game.
Josh Dobbs is your Moosehead Moose of the game. And the numbers on Josh Dobbs, here are the numbers that matter. Josh Dobbs today in that game had two touchdowns in the game rushing, three by air, and absolutely dominated today's game. But more so, when Missouri made it a five-point game and got close, Josh Dobbs called his own number and put it in the end zone for a touchdown 70 yards later. And guys, when he's running around, it's fun to watch. Because on one of those long runs he had, Russell, he shed a couple tacklers.
That one where he was going to get sacked at his own 10-yard line and then ended up gaining about 30 yards.
Down to the 20, like he got out near midfield. That was... He had a couple superhuman type runs today in today's game. And Bino, he was throwing the ball over the lot today. He looked very good throwing the football.
Yeah, Tony, obviously the last three defenses we've played, if you can call them that, haven't provided much resistance. But, he made a play today on the touchdown to Josh that where he has to step up in the pocket. That's about as good a throw as he's made under duress in his entire time there. And, I've said all along that I thought that Josh could be much better than what we've seen if he were used properly and had he been better coached throughout his tenure there.
Back to the phones we go. Bino, before we go there, and thank you to our friends at Moosehead, the Moosehead Moose of the game, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Dobbs on senior day goes out victorious. Bino, give me a couple global thoughts, and then we'll go back to the phones.
First, Russell, Tony, hello. Appreciate you having me on here.
Yes.
Thank you to Doc for stepping in there. He did a nice job. I'm very happy for the seniors. Happy to win a football game. Sad that it's the last home football game of the season. Absolutely disgusted watching this defense play. And extremely disappointed that for the second year in a row, we've blown golden opportunities to go to Atlanta.
You've heard Russell Smith earlier. Is he too harsh?
No, I think it's semantics, Tony. If this team wins 10 football games and they're in the New Year's Day Six Bowl, it would be difficult for me to call the season a failure if that's what comes about. But it's extremely disappointing either way. Opportunities to go and represent the East are precious, especially for us. And for the last 2 years, we lost a game at Florida. We had no business losing last year. It cost us a trip to Atlanta. We lost a game at Columbia, South Carolina. We had absolutely no business losing that cost us a trip this year. And if you can't make it in these 2 years, looking at the land.